Well, good morning, everyone. So great to see you today. Happy stampeding to you. Something we get to celebrate in our city, and something that we as a church like to partner with as we get to celebrate the spirit of the West, the pioneering spirit, the discovering spirit, the we can overcome anything spirit that represents Calgary. Can I hear an amen to that? I am so thankful, and I bet many of you are as well, that our water line has finally been repaired so that we can look like cowboys without smelling like cowboys. I pray everybody had a great Canada Day weekend. My name is Pastor Todd, along with my wife, Jan. We are the lead pastors here, and again, we're just so grateful that you're all here with us, and in just a few moments, we're going to break away from our time here so that we actually can have some pancakes, some sausage, and celebrate in that way. But I do have a few words to share with you today. And growing up in America, that's where I grew up, I loved the 4th of July. It was one of my very, very favorite holidays. Why? Because it was a marathon of food and fire. My friends and I would wander from house to house, having all-you-can-eat barbecues. And I mean, that's talking about endless watermelon, bottomless soda, all the meats you can eat, and endless beverages. It was a great thing. But the highlight for me, the biggest thing that I enjoyed more than anything else, was always the fireworks. I don't know about you, but I love fireworks. I like watching them. I excelled at modifying them. And I enjoyed lighting them. And for most years when I was growing up, the really good ones like the firecrackers, the bottle rockets, the Roman candles, those were illegal. They weren't allowed in our state. So in, I don't know if you know this, if you go down to the U.S., every state has its own rules about what you're allowed to do when it comes to fireworks. However, when I was in high school, for a couple years, all of those crazy fireworks were made legal. And I couldn't believe my good fortune. And I soon discovered the joy of what they called mortar shots. Now, to make these beauties go, you would take a fire mortar, which was a ball that was about the size of 3 to 4 inches in diameter, and it had an 8-inch fuse that was attached to it, and you would drop it into the provided tube, and you would light it and get out of the way. First, there would be an initial bang as the mortar would launch the ball up into the sky, and as it reached its arc of about 30 to 50 feet, it would explode into glorious lights, whether it was red or green or yellow or blue. It was a beautiful thing. And I thought this was so cool, I decided to show my youth pastor, his family, and a few of their neighbors my discovery. I remember thinking as I set the mortar into the shot tube and lit the fuse, how awesome it was going to be. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, as I lit the fuse and I pulled away from the tube, I somehow clipped the tube, knocking it over, changing the blast zone from the sky to somewhere along the street. And before I could change direction and I could disarm the mortar, it launched directly into one of my neighbor's cars. And I can say into because the trajectory was so perfect that it went through an open window before exploding into a beautiful red hue of light that everyone watched in amazed horror. Thankfully, the car was not damaged. I share all of this with you today because thousands of years ago, there was another incredible light show, except this one went according to plan. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, we've been in a series called In the Beginning, and I just felt like to tag on to that today. And it said this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless and empty. And it says that darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness." You see, in the beginning, we understand that the earth was shrouded in darkness until suddenly God declared, "Let there be light." And the Bible says that there was immediately light. Through the power of the Word, the Bible, light was spoken into existence. And I can only imagine how amazing it would have been to observe that moment, to be there in that time. The awe and the wonder that it would have been just to see as this darkness just all of a sudden exploded all around us, that light was now visible and we could see so many different things. My mind went to the other night when we had a remarkable lightning storm. Who was aware of that? You lived through that. You thought you may not make it. As the wind and the rain and the thunder mixed with flashes of light, it was an incredibly spectacular experience. Now, I've got to be honest, I enjoy storms. I think they're amazing. But why am I talking about this today? Because we need to understand this, that light is valuable. Light is important. We need light to be able to function. We need light to live for longer periods of time. It's an important part of our universe. In fact, light is so important. It's one of the units that we use to measure time and distance. We call it the speed of light. Who here knows that light travels at almost 300,000 meters per second? Or 186,000 miles per hour, per second? Did you know it takes that light 8 minutes to reach the earth from the sun, which is 93 million miles or 150 million kilometers away? The closest solar system to our solar system is called Alpha Centauri. It is approximately 4.24 light years away. And who here likes to look at the stars? You like to see things, the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. Who here knows that the Big Dipper is approximately 80 light years away from our planet? What does it tell us? It tells us that the universe that we live in is big. It is massive. It is almost beyond measure. In fact, when God spoke the world into existence, it was through the power of his word. And I know scientists forever have talked about the Big Bang Theory. Well, the Big Bang was actually God speaking. Did you know that one of the things that is completely baffling scientists today is that our universe is expanding at a faster and faster rate? But we also love light because it allows us to see. Human eyesight allows us to see objects within certain ranges of light. For most people, the range of your vision, and I say most people, we all are a little bit unique and different in that, it's between 380 and 720 nanometers. Why is this important? Well, that allows us to see color, the beauty of color. Because we have three cones in our eyes, we're able to see about 1 million different shades of light, which we call color. Pretty cool. Unless, of course, you're colorblind. Then you only have two cones, and you can only see around 10,000 shades of color. I don't know if anybody here is colorblind. I know we have some in our family that are, which is similar to the range of vision for dogs and cats. People always say, well, they can't see in color. Yes, they can, just not all colors. And since we have limited rods in our eyes, we struggle to see at night. Without light, we tend to stumble around in darkness. I have a question for you. Which is worse, stubbing your toe on the leg of a chair or the end of the bed in the middle of the night? Or stepping on a hard toy that your kids left out, a drop pin or another object when you're half asleep? I think the answer is this. We've all done the hoo-ha dance at night, haven't we? When we stepped on something we didn't think was there or shouldn't be there, and it's tested our character and our ability to say, okay, God, it's all good. I'm going to go back to bed so I don't kill those in my life and my family. It's never fun, but it's always a memorable experience. See, the Bible says that when God saw the light, he said that the light was good, meaning that darkness was not part of his domain. You see, we see from the beginning, as we read the Word of God, we see from the beginning that God is making a contrast between himself and his kingdom and that of darkness or another kingdom. Now, I got to say, this darkness is helpful in the right places. It's great for functions like sleep. I like it dark when I go to sleep. Photosynthesis, preservation of certain objects, and so on. It's useful, but we have to understand this. We are called to experience darkness, but we're not designed to live in darkness. We were created for light and to be light. Why? Because we were made in the image of our Creator, Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says this, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. What is Jesus saying? What is he talking to us about? He says, look, I'm the light of the world. Come and follow me. I will guide you. I will open your eyes so that you can avoid those things that you need to avoid in the darkness, the pitfalls, the troubles, the challenges, the sin. If you trust me, listen to this, I will keep you from being blinded by your own desires. Who here knows that times we can be blinded by our own wants, our desires, the way that we see things? I don't know if you're ever challenged like I am in that area where I'm like, man, this is the way it's supposed to be. And all of a sudden God's like, no, I want to open your eyes so you can see things from my perspective. We need light. And I like to believe that Jesus says, if you allow me to change you, then you will reflect my goodness, which will bring life not only to yourself, but everywhere you go. You see, first Jesus says in John 8, 12, I am the light in the world, but he goes on to say in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16, you and me, you are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. You see, in the natural, we see that God created the moon and the sun. The moon being the lesser light in that it is called to reflect the energy, the light of the sun. You see, without the sun, the moon would not be light. I believe this, we're created to reflect the presence, character, and nature of God everywhere we go, to spread his truth and his love to every part of our society. When God in the beginning, let there be light, it was not only so that we'd have the sun to light the day and the moon and the stars to shine at night, but it was for his goodness and his glory to be reflected throughout the earth. You see, when God created us in his image, when God created man and woman, he wanted us to go and occupy all of the places of the earth. Why? So that we could reflect his goodness, his light, his glory everywhere we go. And I shared this in an earlier message in this series, but I want to remind you of this, that we have to remember that the sun was not created and the moon weren't created until the fourth day of creation, yet there still was light. Why? Because it was Jesus who is the light. Jesus is still the light, and Jesus will always be the light in eternity. And we're meant to reflect his light. He shared that our lives are meant to be like a city on a hill. Why would he use this description of a city on a hill? Well, because a city on a hillside, for any of you that's ever been driving or traveling in places that you don't know or long distances, and you're maybe even in the middle of nowhere, you'll all of a sudden understand what it means to see a city on a hill. All of a sudden, that city shows up from a long distance away. People know it. You can point to its direction. You can make it a reference point in where you're traveling to know which direction you need to go. It was impossible to hide or to be hidden. I still remember the first time I came to Calgary. It was actually almost 30 years ago, plus 1 month. I remember I'd packed up all of my stuff. I was heading up here. And I remember I had traveled all day. I'd driven from Battleground, Washington, which is right by Portland, Oregon. And I'd come up on the south side through Crow's Nest Pass. And I was driving up Highway 2. And I just remember, I was like, man, these farmland, it's just wide open. There's nothing here. And all of a sudden, I came over a rise and I saw all these lights spread out before me. I was like, wow, Calgary's bigger than I thought it was. A city on a hill, something that can't be hidden. You see, we live in a world that is lost, and people are looking for hope, looking for freedom, looking for truth. And I believe this, each one of us was created to reveal the goodness and greatness of God to everyone around us, that we're called to reflect his light everywhere we go. Maybe a better picture for some would be like a lighthouse. I don't know if you've ever been to the coast and you've seen a lighthouse at night. Lighthouses are amazing. They're awesome. But why are lighthouses where they're at? Well, lighthouses are placed in critical areas to guide ships away from danger and direct them towards safety. Where should they go? I believe our lives were designed to lead people away from self-focused danger and point them to Jesus. Our relationship with Jesus was not meant to be hidden, but to be real, genuine, and out in the open for people to see. You see, we were meant to draw people to him. When they look at our lives, they're like, man, there's something different about you. And what is that difference? It's not how great our personality is, even though a lot of you have great personalities. It's not how good looking we are, even though you're pretty good looking. It's not how talented and skillful you are, even though every one of you has talents and skills, but it was because of Jesus' impact on your life, the love, the compassion, the genuineness. You see, when Jesus talks about our good deeds, it's not about a performance to win the approval of people, but it's about an unashamed lifestyle that seeks to honor God completely in every area of our lives. Why? Because you and I are the light of the world. Now, the problem is sometimes that we struggle with things. We do not always move forward in our faith, and sometimes our actions don't say what they need to do. And we sometimes struggle with this idea of how to honor God because of the shame. We tend to sometimes hide our love for Jesus. But here's what I believe God wants to speak to us today. I want to remind us, we need to learn and to lean into the grace of God by admitting we don't always have it together, but allowing his Holy Spirit to change us and help us so that we can reflect the true nature of God, first in our families and then with everyone else around us. But how do we do this? Because there's always that tension between holiness and grace and honoring God and reflecting God. Well, we have to understand this, that the sun, the main planet in our, or the main object in our solar system, doesn't need any other source but itself to produce light. But the moon, as I said, requires the sun's energy to be light. Because Jesus is the light of the world, he himself is the source of all light. However, for us to be light in the world, we must be plugged into Jesus. You and I cannot reflect Jesus without being connected with Jesus. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you know God. Maybe you would say, I'm a Jesus follower. But if you were honest with yourself, you'd say, you know what, there's maybe been a little bit of some disconnection. I haven't been fully engaged with Jesus. I hear God speaking to you today. Come, plug in, reconnect. Maybe you've never made that decision. I hear Jesus saying, come to me. I want to change you. I want to make you more like me. I want to give you my life. You see, our own abilities, our own strength, our own efforts will never be good enough. I remember over 20 years ago talking with my grandma as she was only given a few months to live. As she was sitting in her hospital bed, I was down in the area and I got to see her in the hospital. I asked her if she believed she was going to heaven. And she told me this. She goes, Todd, I'm not 100% sure. She goes, I've been thinking about this. So I actually, the other day, and I have to understand, my grandmother was a Catholic, and so she said there was a nun that was visiting her. And so she said to the nun, she goes, how can I be sure that I'm going to go to heaven? And here's the answer the lady gave to her. She said, Pearl, have you done your best to live a good life and to be a good person? My grandma said, well, I've always done my best, not perfect, but my best. The nun responded, Pearl, you have nothing to worry about. Your place in heaven is secure. Who here knows that's not the truth? That's not the truth. Her place wasn't secure because she'd been a good person or tried to do well. Her place wasn't secure because she had given her best efforts. The only way your place is secure, and I shared this with her, I said, Grandma, that's not the truth. The only way you can be forgiven and find eternal life is through Jesus. To be plugged into Jesus. I said, your best is not good enough, but his love and his forgiveness is more than enough. She immediately confessed her sin and accepted Jesus on the spot. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus is our source for everything. Jesus is the light of the world. Why? So that we can be the light to the world. You see, the only way you and I can be light is through Jesus. If I can have John come up here. You see, today as I close off this time, I declare that you are the light of the world. You are meant to change the world. You are meant to be light and life to everyone you come in contact with. But before we can change the world around us, we must allow him, for some of us today, to change the world inside of us. Wrong attitudes, weak faith, sin struggles will block our light from shining. It will hide our light. It will cover our light. It's like a filter on a hot tub. If you've ever had a hot tub and they get plugged up sometimes, you have to clean the filter. Why? So that what needs to pass through can pass through. We need our filter cleaned many times so that the light, the hope, the love of Jesus can shine through our lives. Maybe you're here today and you'd be honest and you'd say, Pastor Todd, I hear what you're saying. I want to be that light, but I realize that in these moments and in these times, I'm probably not shining the way I want to, and I want Jesus just to come and help me and encourage me and strengthen me. So if everybody would bow their head and close their eyes, I just want to ask, is there anybody here today that say, I need a little filter cleaning today. I need Jesus to come and touch my life today. I want to be that light in a greater capacity. If God is speaking to you, if Holy Spirit is speaking to you, would you raise your hand right where you're at? I just want to pray for you today, because God is here to help us so that we can reflect his glory to everyone around us. Father God, I pray for those who are struggling with these things or struggling with issues or realize, God, that they haven't always done the right thing. I'm even raising my hand here today. I know there's been moments where I get intense about things, and sometimes I don't reflect Jesus, I reflect myself. And God, I ask that you'd forgive me as you forgive everyone else here today. Lord, so that we can point people to you, so that people can see you in us, that when they look at our lives, Lord, they'll see something different, not because we're proud or arrogant, like, look at me. But Lord, they'll just see you. They just will look at us and they'll see you. Lord, that's what our desire is today. Lord, that people would see you inside of us.